Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we address international faith issues today on this edition of the program. It's a huge concern when Christian brothers and sisters are persecuted somewhere around the world, and we want to stay tuned to this. Our church does a persecuted church Sunday once a year in which we write letters to the persecuted church. We get involved. We pull together shipments of aid and that sort of thing. So I think it's important for every Christian church around the nation to remember those who are in bonds. And that's what Paul tells us in Hebrews 13. So today we're going to talk to Open Doors, a ministry that's been involved in helping the persecuted church for a long, long time. I believe it was Brother Andrew that got this thing going many years ago. But today, Jerry Dykstra joins us on the Generations Broadcast from Open Doors. Jerry, hey, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's a real honor.
Yeah, I mean, persecuted church is so important. I mean, it's so crucial to Christians. You know, if they're brothers and sisters that are suffering somewhere around the world, we want to remember those who are in chains. And it just seems like this is a component to the Christian life that really has to be, you know, part of every Christian's life. Every family, every church needs to be tuned into this.
Yeah, I think it's really called for. I think I went over this a couple weeks ago, and as I was writing an article, and I just found out how many times the Bible mentions persecution.
Yeah.
And I believe it's over 100. It's talked about in the Bible, and of course it says that all Christians will be persecuted at some time.
Yeah.
And of course, 1 Corinthians 12:26, when all one member suffers, all members suffers with it.
Yeah.
And so that's really a call for us.
Give us the big picture first, Jerry. We want to look at Egypt in just a moment. Give us a big picture. What's going on in the world? Are things shifting around? Is persecution growing some places and decreasing in other places? What's it look like right now?
Well, for starters, of course, Open Doors has been working with the persecuted church for 58 years.
Wow.
Started by Brother Andrew, and of course, he wrote God Smuggler, which I imagine a lot of your listeners probably have read.
I remember reading that when I was 12 years old. That's been around a long time.
Brother Andrew is still, I met with him in January in Washington, D.C., and he is very active, mainly in the Middle East. Answer your question is that each year, Open Doors puts out a world watch list. And this is a list of the top 50 countries that are the worst persecutors of Christians. And North Korea has been number one on that list for 11 years in a row, and for good reason. But most of these other countries are Muslim-dominated countries, such as Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Maldives, Iran, Yemen, and Syria. So our concentration at Open Doors is over the years has changed quite a bit, and we're quite a bit focused on the Middle East right now.
Yeah. How about China, real quick? Is China increasing, decreasing, up, down? Where is it today in terms of persecution of Christians?
Well, China, when I first came aboard, China was one of our top places where we sent millions of Bibles and Christian literature.
Yeah.
And now on the list, if you go by our list, it's falling every year. It's falling, which is good news, actually. You know, when a country falls on the list, last year, this year is number 21. It's number 37. The previous year is 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I first came aboard about 10 years ago, it was on the top 10 list. So, the conditions are improving in China. It doesn't mean that there's not persecution, closing of churches going on, but it means that, thank God that there's more openness than before, depending on where you go in China. And yeah. China is such a large country, obviously.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the Middle East. Egypt is on the rise, persecution on the rise. I don't think there's any question about that. Nations like Iraq as well. Why persecution on the rise in places like Iraq, Iran, Egypt?
Well, I think there's some driving forces behind that, but I think one of those are increased Muslim extremists trying to drive out the Christians.
Uh-huh.
And make it a completely Muslim-dominated countries with Sharia law, which is strict Islamic law.
Uh-huh.
And they know if they increase their the tempo of their or persecution that many Christians will leave the country, unfortunately. And that we have seen that happen, obviously, in Iraq. We're seeing that many of those people in Iraq have left for other countries and for the United States. And we have the number of Christians left in Iraq is about 300,000. And about 8, 9, 10 years ago, it was 1.4 million.
Incredible. Wow. Wow.
And then, of course, inside Iraq, there's many people that have been forced to leave their homes and go to northern Iraq. So we call those internally displaced people.
Mm-hmm.
And we still minister to those people in mostly in northern Iraq. But look at these other countries, the same thing is happening in Syria with a civil war.
Yep.
Obviously, for the Christians, there's two things. They're victims of the general violence that is taking place that has killed 100,000 people in Syria. But they're also being targeted by part of the jihadists who are fighting on the side of the rebels. And so they're being not only victims of the general violence, but they're also being targeted because they are Christians. And of course, as the rebels take over the country, they will, of course, want the Christians to be gone. And so there's they're just caught in a catch-22, thing there. And so Christians are many Christians, thousands of Christians are displaced.
Hmm.
Inside the country, many are in camps in Turkey and Lebanon and so forth.
Hmm.
And right now, Open Doors has a campaign to help those in need in Syria, and that campaign has proved very successful, especially with relief products that we have sent to Christians along with the camps that they're in, refugee camps.
Do you actually go and visit these people in these refugee camps?
Oh yes, we go and visit them. We go into Syria, and kind of our motto is no country is closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And some of these times now in Syria, the border is wide open, and fortunately, we can get into those countries. Unfortunately, also, people that like Al-Qaeda can get into that country too. But the point to point is that we work with the partners, the churches that are inside Syria and ask them what they need, and we give it to them. And one of the great stories that I've heard is that some of these church partners, they share what they've got, shelter, tents, food with their Muslim neighbors.
Hmm.
And sometimes their Muslim neighbors ask them, well, why are you sharing this with us? Because we have been persecuting you. And the Christians say, well, we just want to share because we believe that's what Jesus would want us to do. And so actually, we've heard of several instances where Muslims have come to Christ because of that.
That's great.
And
that's great.
So, you know, the Holy Spirit is working in a way that even in the midst of all this violence.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The gospel is going out.
It's beautiful. Can you say that the violence is the revolutions are rooted in the rise of Muslim fundamentalism? And where did that come from? Where does the Muslim fundamentalism come from? What do you attribute the rise to?
Well, definitely there is rise, as we see in Egypt, with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I think it's a real fundamentalist, the extremists of in of course there's moderate Muslims, but in the past I think in some of these countries Christians could get along with the moderate Muslims, and they work together and they live together in relatively peace. But we've seen a whole new side to Al Qaeda and other groups, Muslim Brotherhood, and they've had a whole new agenda, is to make their country 100% Muslim. Yeah. And, of course, they equate anything to do with the West.
Mm-hmm.
If they see any Americans there or anything like that, they equate Christianity with the West.
Yeah. And there's an unholy association sometimes of the West with Christianity, because as you and I both know, there's much about the West that we're ashamed of, and we would rather not export to them.
Well, that's exactly right. And when they see, movies or something with sex and violence, and they equate that with the West, and they equate it with Christianity. So, unfortunately, that's what they see, and many of them think, are brainwashed into thinking. So, when I was in Egypt a year and a half ago, I had a very interesting interview with a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay.
And this was, he's about 40 years old now, 35, and he's very active in what's happening in Egypt right now and some of the revolution going on. But when I interviewed him, he said that he came from a Muslim background. He is a Muslim background believer now, but he come from a Muslim Brotherhood family. And at the age of 16 or 15, he started studying in different books because he was very interested, a very bright fellow, and he come from a very rich family, very intelligent family. And he started reading the Bible and started reading the Gospel of John, and he started thinking, I'm reading about a God that loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I've not experienced that in the Muslim faith or with my own father, and that God loves me unconditionally. And he became a Christian through reading the Bible that way.
Incredible.
And he was thrown out of his home at the age of 16,
mm-hmm.
living on the streets. Fortunately that he brought others to Christ. And after many years, he even brought members of his family to Christ, not his father, but other members. Now he's played a critical role in what's happening in Egypt now. But he had nothing good to say about the Muslim Muslim Brotherhood, and he said their agenda is number one to take over the whole country of Egypt. And Egypt right now is 90% roughly Muslim and 10% Christian, which is a pretty good minority for Christians, but obviously, they want to drive them out. Many Christians have left Egypt, and that's what we want to prevent, because we need to have them stay there and be a voice for Christianity.
Is it difficult for Christians to take a side, quote unquote, in the revolutions, whether it be with the youth on the streets, whether it be with the military, whether it be with the previous regime? Is it difficult for Christians to take a side in these political struggles? What do they say about this?
Well, in Egypt, it's not hard, because they certainly didn't want Morsi to be president.
Right.
And, of course, that was an answer to their prayers when he was overthrown, or whatever you want to call it, about a month ago or two. And so that was, they felt that was an answer to their prayers, but of course they had never realized that what would happen after that. And obviously the many Christians there were targeted by the Morsi followers, and their hundreds of churches were destroyed in the past month, and Christians killed, and a young girl a 10-year-old on the streets of Cairo was killed returning from her Bible study at a church. And, you know, things like that, you know, have them obviously still contemplating leaving Egypt.
But, right.
I think they, many of them have a strong faith that the Lord wants them to stay there. And they're urging us to pray for them and to fast for them. And obviously this is why Open Doors has started a campaign for them to raise $430,000 to bring hope and relief to many of the devastated Christians there.
So the Muslim Brotherhood are specifically picking on these churches in the midst of the revolution, not as if the Christians have done them any harm per se, but they're just angry with Christians, and they want to destroy these churches. You have 212 properties attacked here, 73 churches destroyed, 7 lives taken. This is from one of your recent e-alerts, and I'm guessing those numbers are rising all the time. Why are they going after the church properties?
Well, one of the reasons is because that they believe that the Christians were part of the plot to get Morsi out. And in fact, that the Pope, Coptic Pope, did have played some role in that. But to blame the Christians for what happened was that the majority of Egyptians did not want the Muslim Brotherhood in power. But they had to blame somebody.
Yeah.
And the Christians, as in many countries in the Middle East, you'll see this all the time, the Christians are the first ones to get blamed, first ones to be persecuted, first ones to be killed.
Yep.
And this is the way it was in Egypt. And though it's quieted down a little bit, they're still want to take the blame out on someone. And obviously, the Christians have almost no security. There's nobody to protect them. The government can't do it. And this is, you can add that to Iraq and Iran and, and Syria. You can just go on and on and on, and nobody's going to take the side of Christians because they're a minority.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened when Nero burned down Rome. He blamed the Christians for it, and that, of course, sparked the initial Roman persecutions against the Christian church in, what, AD 67. So, you know, that's been going on a long time. They've been blaming Christians for all the bad stuff that's going on all the time, and they wind up taking the brunt of persecution. But that's the nature of evil, and I think it's demonic. You know, it's obviously Satan inspiring these folks to go after some of the most precious, some of the most righteous, some of the most moral, some of the most loving, compassionate people on earth. They usually bear the brunt of the persecutions, and hopefully throughout it all, they will maintain a strong testimony. But the big question here is whether or not they need to leave. I mean, are many of them, you know, torn as to whether they should just get up and leave?
Yeah, definitely. I know we have a contact with a Egyptian Christian leader, and he just mourns the loss of friends and family who have left Egypt. And it breaks his heart. And yeah, I mean, we definitely want people to stay, but in a sense, you know, what if you place yourself in their situation, what would you do?
Yeah.
It would be
you want to protect your family.
Right, exactly right. But Open Doors has traditionally always encouraged people to stay, and that's why we always support them and get people together to united to support them, and not only in prayer but sometimes in physical ways. As a Christian leader what I mentioned stated, you know, what can Christians do? Though the fight seems to be between groups of people, it's clearly a spiritual war.
Yeah,
as you just mentioned, it's our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, to win the war, believers need to use the right weapons. And he says that's to pray and to fast with them. And his prayers, he gives some prayer requests for Egypt. So, you know, I think, you know, we need in the West become aware of what's happening. And a lot of that you don't get. I just saw a study where in Syria and so forth, you know, how much the national broadcast, the big TV stations were mentioning, in Egypt, how many times they're mentioning Christians, and it was only like four or five times that the Christians were even mentioned of being persecuted in Egypt over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, you know, hundreds of churches have been burnt or destroyed or damaged.
Right.
So you're not going to get it from the national news, and so that's why. If you want news about Christians and what's happening in these different countries, you know, Open Doors is a good site. Our website is opendoorsusa.org. You can get information. You can sign up for prayer requests, specific prayer requests that come out every, I believe, Thursday, breaking news. And there's also a campaign, like I mentioned, to help Egypt. Christians, Egyptian Christians, you can go to our website, and there's a Help Egypt icon that you can click and give whatever you can. And we
That's
just
important.
Appreciate any kind of your help.
Yeah.
And I've been in Egypt, and I've talked to the Christians there, and you know, first thing I got off the plane in Egypt, and this is there was still street violence, and one of our secret contact persons said, you know, you don't know what it means to come at a time like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so touched by that because he was saying, you know, you don't know what it means that I'm there personally. Our group was there personally to pray with them, support them, walk in their shoes, even though it's only a week. And so they always don't realize that we're praying for them. And so to be there physically is a very important thing too.
Jerry, are we talking cross denominations, multiple denominations? Obviously, if Christians make up about 10%, it's beyond the Coptic. So I'm guessing it's a lot of different denominations represented.
Yes, we got to when we were there, we spoke to many leaders of different denominations, and you're talking the Coptic Church, of course, but you're also talking the evangelistic church. You're talking Protestants and Catholics, and of course the traditional church there is the Greek Orthodox Coptic Church. But the amazing thing, you know, I alluded to what's happening in Syria, some of the good things, and when I was there, there was a tremendous coming together of all these different groups in Egypt who have not been traditionally we're on their own. And in this time of crisis, they've been praying for the last 2 years because they believed that God was going to do something great in Egypt. And even last summer, last fall, they had tremendous groups of people, thousands of people, coming together in the desert to praise the Lord and ask the Lord to do a miracle in Egypt. And even in the midst of this things that are happening in Egypt, there is great outreach happening, and there's great things happening, and we see that all the time in the midst of persecution that God brings together his people in prayer. And so I just want to say that even when I was there, that I've heard some of their laments, but I've also heard the joy in their hearts that what the Lord is moving hearts, even Muslims, to come to Christ. And a lot of that is happening in visions and dreams.
Yeah.
We hear that many times in places like Egypt and Syria.
Yeah, I've seen many of those testimonies. The one important caveat in the persecutions that come is that it does open up so many opportunities, and oftentimes the kingdom presses forward through the bloodshed of persecutions, and sometimes the message is just hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, and we appreciate what Open Doors does to just encourage the troops in the midst of some of these very difficult persecutions. Here's a segment I want to read from one of your email alerts, Jerry, that you sent out the last couple of weeks. This is a Syrian pastor who says, "I weep for my country. I'm so sad and speechless. They advise me to leave my country to emigrate. I respond saying, I'm staying for the Church of Jesus, that the message of Jesus may remain a light guiding those who are lost and afraid. I'm staying because the harvest is plentiful and the suffering is huge, a deep wound, a sense of despair. I'm staying to follow in the footsteps of my master, went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. I'm staying because I'm busy in the ministry of saving souls. The cup of war, I do pray that the cup of war may be taken from the country of Syria, that the Lord may crush the conspiracy of the evil ones and their war plans and consider their threats, that he may send the power of his Holy Spirit to his church," on and on and on. I mean, this is a man of faith. This is a man who's really at the very, very front lines of battle, and he's engaging, and he's a man of faith.
Yes, that prayer really affected me and impacted me, and also the prayer of some of the pastors from Egypt are just so passionate, and, mm-hmm. and because you know they love their God, but they also love their country, and they love their fellow Christians and mm-hmm. and their countrymen, and just as we love the United States here, we don't like everything that's happening, but we do love it. And so they have a real passion in their hearts, and I'm just glad that could get out to people. And some of those things are on our website again.
Yes.
OpenDoorsUSA.org.
Yes. Yes.
I just recommend that people stay aware of what's happening. I know in Syria this summer, there was a call for them. Actually, the recall the different denominations inside Syria, and there's a many different denominations, just like in the United States. They didn't all get together previously, but they all got together for this huge weekend of prayer, even in the dangerous place that God protected them, though, and they prayed together, and it was a pleading. Peace, pleading for God to work a miracle in that country, and so even in the midst of all this, this terrible, horrific killing of people, and that the Lord is moving, amen to that.
Yes, Jerry Dykstra from Open Doors Ministries, opendoorsusa.org. And ladies and gentlemen, I think the message today is go get another cup of water for another brother and do another one and go get another one and go get another one. There will be suffering. There will be persecutions. There will be needy brothers and sisters in Christ who will need cups of water until Jesus comes back. So let's get about the business of go getting some cups of cold water for the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one way to do that is to stay connected to what is happening to the persecuted church. And you can get more information at opendoorsusa.org. Stay connected to the persecuted church. Jerry Dykstra, thanks so much for joining us today on Generations.
Yes, thank you very much. And can I just mention one more thing is that the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is November 3.
Okay.
And Open Doors has some wonderful resources on that. And you can go to our website again and order those kits. For your church or your family or your small group.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we once again state as the Kingdom of God internationally as persecution is hitting many, many nations, especially in the Middle East right now. Get connected. Stay tuned. And we will continue to update you on some of these stories on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.